Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, May 15th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Mel. We're almost halfway through another month.
Unbelievable. And it's May.
I know.
We say this each and every time. We're just so shocked.
We're going to be halfway through a year before you know it.
I know. And I was just thinking the other day, I was like, my gosh, next month is June.
Yes.
June. Went away in March, and that seems like it was so long ago. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I know it is. And next month, the longest day of the year comes, and states are getting shorter, and all of a sudden, boom, we're back in the fall.
I know. Hey, Butch.
Yes, ma'am.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, yeah, Happy New Year.
Let me be the first one to wish you a Merry Christmas.
All righty. All right, folks, we'll get serious here about the bottom of the air. Hang in there.
Do we have to?
Go ahead.
Let's see. Gold today up 480, 2016. Silver up 10 cents at $24.15. Platinum was up $14 at $1,072. Palladium was up 20, $1,558. USDX today was down 0.27 at 102.41. Crude oil was up a buck, a little over a buck, 71.10. Paper markets today, the Dow was up 50 points. S&P was up 12. The NASDAQ was up 80. Let's see. Europe was all positive. I'm sure Asia was all, I guess they like something that's going on out there. It's green everywhere. 10-year yield, that's also higher, 0.03, 3.496. And let's take a peek at natural gas. Was also green today, up almost 5% at 2.375. So, you know, consumer debt, Butch.
Mm-hmm.
Passes $17 trillion.
Yep.
For the first
headline. That's okay. You go ahead.
All right. For the first time, despite slide in mortgage demand. So that's interesting. Hit a fresh high. The consumer debt in the first quarter of 2023 at just over $17 trillion. New mortgage originations, including refinancings, totaled just $323 billion. Now, this is the lowest level since the second quarter of 2014. So now, wouldn't you think that somehow... that this is the lowest level since the second quarter of 2014, that there's an industry that is just falling out of bed? I mean, you would think that we would see a more pressure in various other paper investments and so forth. You would think. With this sharp pullback in home borrowing. That industry has to be just coming to, of course, and I don't think, you know, the first quarter, the weather wasn't too bad. You know, there were some storms and so forth, but you would just think, let's see if there's anything else interesting in that. New home loans peaked at $1.22 trillion in the second quarter of 2021, have been falling since as interest rates have increased. We've seen the series of rate cuts from the Fed. Rates now are now around 6.4%. And let's see. That headline is just an eye-opener. As a result, Fed data shows that about 14 million mortgages were refinanced during the pandemic period starting in March 2020. Some 64% were considered rate refinances or homeowners looking to take advantage of lower borrowing costs. Average savings totaled about $220 per month for those borrowers. As a result of significant equity drawdowns, mortgage borrowers reduced their annual payments by tens of billions of dollars, providing additional funding for spending or pay downs in other debt categories. So they're saying because they're saving money and that they're able to use their credit cards and so forth. Delinquency rates for all debt increased up 0.6% for credit cards to 6.5%. Auto loans, 6.9%. Total delinquency rates moved up to 0.2 percentage points to 3%. This is the highest since the third quarter. Student loan debt edged higher to $1.6 trillion, and auto loans nudged up as well to $1.56. So that's it in a nutshell, Butch.
Yep, I understand that. And I was thinking when you said that they, because of lower house payments, they spent more in the credit card. What was the point in getting the payments lower so they spend more money? I mean, you know, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but, you know, I'm just me. I don't know.
Well, so that means that other debt, though, yes, we got a little bit more. You know, maybe they traded in the cars and so forth, but also delinquency rates are rising. But that means a lot more. And we talk about this all the time, that people are living off their credit cards. So that means that debt went up. So
they truly are. And that's really sad, but it is what it is. You know, there's nothing you can say about that. People are struggling. And I know it's not, most of us are still getting by. I know by the grace of God, I still am. But that doesn't mean it doesn't cost a fortune just to get by, you know, to get by now. It's just unbelievable, the prices. Now, I know the price of eggs come down a little bit, and things are maybe getting a little better in some areas, but it's not a huge amount that I can see a difference in what I'm putting in the groceries right now. Not my little tiny can of pepper, a little white can of McCormick pepper is $4.40. You know, I don't see that coming down a whole lot in price. I used for 29 cents, you know, so. Anyway, anything else you can go on that line? Go ahead.
Well, you know, Wall Street Journal came out. I don't know if I can pull up this article right now, but America is binging on snacks. You know?
Yeah.
That's U.S. consumers are gorging on snacks, fueling boom times for cookie and candy giants. You know?
They're comfort food.
Comfort foods, yeah.
And they're really bad for you. Really worst thing you can do for your body. But they're comfort food. We get depressed, a lot of people will sit down and start eating. Some people smoke, some eat, some do other things. Or both. But, you know, yeah, that's it. They're comfort food. And people get a little stressed out. They just want to sit down and eat a tater chip and some dip and feel better about it.
Nearly half of U.S. consumers are eating three or more snacks a day, up 8% in the past 2 years. So, thank you, pandemic, right?
Exactly. You know, and I'm going to start with a different kind of story. We got some financial news to cover. And believe it or not, more escalation in the war between Russia and Ukraine, which is really the war between Russia and UK and America. That's what it boils down to. And the Russia's not fighting Ukraine. It's fighting the whole European Union and America, Melody. You know that.
Yes, I do know that.
It hasn't come to our shores yet, so to speak. We'll get to the news headlines on that. Excuse me. You may find out it's getting much, much closer than it was. And folks, I tell you to keep an eye on this. It's hardly ever on the news anymore, but what's escalating in the war. But it's escalating every day. Every day. And it's getting a little bit on the tenuous side right now. But this first story I wanted to share, I thought was really a good story. Now, we talk about guns, Melody, and the duty to defend yourself and your family. Then that's great. But this young man did something I think you'll find interesting. Slingshot wielding boy saves his 8-year-old sister from being abducted after shooting a man with a black mohawk in the head and chest. He didn't have a gun, so I used to carry a slingshot homemade one, and you get pretty good with them too, believe me. But anyway, the 8-year-old girl was rescued after her brother shot a 17-year-old kidnapper with a slingshot in Michigan. The girl, who has not been identified, was on a mushroom hunt near the woods just outside of Alpena Township in the northern part of the state, police say. The victim's uncle posted on Facebook that the 17-year-old male suspect had a black mohawk and had come out of the woods, covered the young girl's mouth, and then tried to drag her away. The 13-year-old brother saw a tussle from inside the family's home and took action, grabbing his slingshot and firing objects at the would-be kidnapper's head and chest. That caused him to let go, said Lieutenant John Crimshaw, commander of the local post of the Michigan State Troopers. Lieutenant John Crimshaw said the suspect admitted that he had the intent to severely beat the 8-year-old girl if he was successful in dragging her away. An 8-year-old Michigan girl was a year-old girl was able to struggle and get away, and he shot another one and hit the suspect in the chest and then fled the scene, he told the Channel 10 News. Crimshaw said that the suspect admitted that the intent was to severely beat the girl. The suspect, who was also left unidentified due to age, ran away from the two children and attempted to hide before authorities located him in a gas station nearby. The victim's brother was credited for his heroism and making it easier for police to identify the suspect. What he did also helped us identify who the suspect was, because obviously he had injuries from getting hit with a slingshot, Grimshaw said. Authorities said the victim and her parents are both shaken up emotionally, but the girl was uninjured. The suspect ran away from the, someone trying to find more story. Authorities said her uncle Gary Quintel wrote, "I'm very proud of my nephew. I know my niece is traumatized. I'm sending prayers for her. That had to be extremely scary for her." Grimshaw offered advice for parents, for people who might be victims of attempted kidnapping in the future. Fight, do everything you can. Bite the hand that holds your mouth. It goes on to say, just kick him in the chin, whatever you have to do. And if you're free, if your mouth is free, scream as loud as you possibly can. The suspect, who is underage and also not being identified, is being held in juvenile jail cell. His next court date is scheduled May 17th. So a young boy, 13 years old, with a slingshot that I grew up with. I mean, I guess you're still around some places. I grew up with a slingshot of BB gun in my hand all the time. And this young man saved his brother, maybe saved his sister's life, maybe saved her life. At least kept from getting beaten with a slingshot, Melody. I think that's a pretty good story.
Yes,
I do. I know it's not economic, but I think it's a very good story.
Well, that's fine. You know, we can do other things.
I mean, that really, to me, makes me feel good that the young boy had enough gumption to try something. You know, I mean, 17-year-old boy is probably quite a bit bigger than a 13-year-old boy, and his sister was in danger, so God bless his heart. Now, this is a story you mentioned the other day. We know about the young man who was arrested for putting a stranglehold on a black man who was screaming threats to other people around him. And he was charged with second-degree manslaughter by the liberal black DA in New York. And I'm going to say this right up front. If it had been black on white, they probably wouldn't even think then about it. But now this is white on black, and this is different. But on the other side of that coin, online fun reaches nearly 2 million to aid Daniel Penny's legal defense. Nearly 2 million has been raised as a Monday morning for the legal defense of Daniel Penny via dedicated online contribution site. The funds will help the U.S. Marine veteran who faces a second-degree manslaughter charge and the chokehold death of Jordan Neely on the New York City subway. A Give, Send, Go page titled Daniel Perry's Legal Defense Fund showed the total stood at $1,921,048 and climbing. According to the page, it was created by the law firm Razor and Kenneth PC. The monies are to cover legal fees from any criminal charges filed and any future civil lawsuits that may arise, as well as expenses related to defense. Thomas Kenneth, a lawyer for Penny, said he didn't mean to harm Neely earlier in this month and is dealing with the situation with the integrity and honor that is characteristic of who he is and characteristic of his honorable service in the United States Marine Corps. As Breitbart News reported, Penny turned himself in New York's police station Friday for arraignment. He did not enter a plea in response. Neely, a mentally ill homeless man with over 40 arrests, had allegedly been screaming threats on the F train in New York City before being wrestled to the ground and placed on a chokehold by Penny and two others. So good for them. I'm sure the man didn't mean to harm the man to that degree, but he took away a threat. The man was threatening people. What do you do? Wait till you start stabbing them or shooting them? What do you stand by and do nothing? What's he supposed to do? This man is, in my mind, a hero. Mel, any comment on that?
No, I mean, it really is, it's just so messed up, you know, and there was always these big questions of why didn't they go to a grand jury and everything else, you know? I mean, it's just, I'm glad that guy got $2 million sitting there. I hope he gets a whole lot more.
I do too.
Because what's not going to be used for his attorneys will go to some sort of charity to help the mentally ill. So it's also for a good cause. So, you know, it just really is amazing that that they charged him. It truly is.
It is. It's a shame. It's what it is. A shame. Truly a shame that they did that. But anyway, and we know what's happening on the border. And according to the news, it's been a fizzle, kind of. They said that 50% of it, 50% decrease, actually, in border crossing since this Title 42 was lifted. They expect it to be a lot higher, according to the news now. Not what I'm saying or not what I've seen myself on TV. But it's been a 50% decrease in border crossings. Well, maybe that's show, but there's footage online. You can see it, folks. A U.S. migrant crisis go ahead.
Those are Biden's numbers, and that pullback is from the peak. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yes, it's from the peak.
Sneaky, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad you got that right.
But anyway, golly.
U.S. migrant crisis said El Paso Process Center is bursting at the seams with six times its max capacity, while a third busload is dropped off at outside Kamala Harris's D.C. home. Migrants that can be seen packed into overflowing Texas Processing Center in shocking footage that lays bare the spiraling southern border crisis splitting America at the seams. The video from Border Patrol Central Processing Center in El Paso shows 750 migrants who are mostly men in just one room waiting to be vetted on their way into the U.S. The room, which was built for just 120, was littered with makeshift beds and blankets as agents struggled to contend with the huge influx of asylum seekers. U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez said the entire center had six times its maximum capacity, 6,000 versus its usual 1,000. The overwhelming numbers forced Texas to send a third busload of migrants to Washington, D.C. on Sunday, where they dropped off down the road from Kamala Harris's house. The vice president had just hours earlier claimed that the end of Title 42 on Thursday was going rather smoothly. Boy, these people, they can't help but lie, Melody. Every time they open their mouth, they're telling a lie. Somehow they're trying to see the people. We'll get back after the break. We'll just finish reading this. But they can, it seems like they can't help it. I think they're habitual liars. I don't know how to stop. That's my opinion.
Well, I agree. I agree. But I hear the music, so we have to stop. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. What else do you have for us, Butch, today?
I do want to make a last statement on this article about the El Paso facility being over 6,000 in it, when it should be more than 1,000 in it. The gentleman speaking, Gonzalez, or U.S. Representative Gonzalez, said this: "You may not see 1,000 people rushing through the border, the images everyone's looking for, but I guarantee you there are 1,000 people in these processing centers." And he, I think he said very clearly that they're lying to you, folks. It's not down. It's up. You may not see it on the news. And you won't see it on the news. Not if it's CNN and ABC and all of them have anything to do with it. You won't see it on the news. But the immigrants are flooding across the border in record numbers. I'm sure of that. And maybe in where you are, you're not feeling the pinch just yet with physical appearances of illegals. But I promise you're going to feel it in your pocketbook. I guarantee it. Illegal immigrants get free smartphones paid for by U.S. taxpayers. Some do not have court dates until the year 2035, Melody.
I know.
I mean, come on. As of today, Friday, the Title 42 Border Protection order is officially expired for us past Friday. And the United States is preparing for a record-breaking flood of illegal immigrants at the southern border. On Thursday, independent journalist Taylor Hansen shared a video on Twitter showing legal aliens using U.S. taxpayer-funded cell phones after they were given court dates. In 2022, the Biden regime reportedly issued over 300,000 smartphones to legal aliens as part of the Alternative to Detention program. According to ICE, smartphones cost taxpayers $361,218.08 per day, Melody. Per day.
Wow.
And I'm glad you're paying all that for us. Anyway, yeah. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement claim that phones' facial recognition, GPS, and tracking, and voice ID features are used to keep track of illegal immigrants while they wait for the court date. Sure, that's what they're for. Of course they are. But anyway, they push back as far as 2035. By that time, I'm probably dead. The ones are still alive. Those of us are still here won't even be thinking about them anymore. So, what do you think about that, Mel?
Well, I mean, they have, I know it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It really is. And again, I just don't understand how they cannot do any charges from Mayorkas because they're not doing their job.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
And all you hear these, you know, Congress is whining about it. They're not doing anything about it. The states are doing more than what Congress is doing. It just doesn't even make sense. So all of D.C. wants it to happen. Is my book.
Well,
my book.
You're right. And I'm getting to wonder, some cases, like the mayor of New York, maybe he's not a little bit getting a little bit hesitant himself about all this coming across, because he's trying to ship them out of his city to other places. We'll cover it in a minute, too. He's trying to ship them out of New York to other places, and they don't want them. Maybe some of them get these so-called liberals, these leftists, perhaps, will get their eyes open to the fact that we can't absorb all this. If they got to help pay for it and handle it, maybe they change their mind a little bit. I don't know. That's a hope I like to keep a little bit of thinking about, that there is a little bit of hope maybe that he's at least get their eyes open a little bit. I like to think it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I like to thank you, Melody. But New Yorkers say their motel rooms are being canceled and given to migrants. Now, folks, pay attention to this article. If this were you, and you had made plans a year in advance, made reservations a year in advance, and these motels sold your rooms so the people that you invited couldn't come, you have to either postpone the engagement or do something else, I would think this should make them a bit angry. Illegal immigration overwhelms the United States as a result of President Joe Biden ending the Title 42 border control. New Yorkers say hotel rooms they booked months in advance are now being given to newly arrived border crossers and illegal aliens. A couple originally from New York but now residing in Florida told the New York Post the 30 hotel rooms they had booked at the Crossroads Hotel in Newburgh, New York, were abruptly canceled to accommodate border crossers and legal aliens. Another couple from Queens, New York City, said they had booked 37 hotel rooms at Crossroads Hotel for their wedding, but that the rooms similarly were canceled to make room for border crossers and legal aliens. The cancellations came as Mayor Eric Adams has started busting newly arrived border crossers and illegal aliens out of New York City, a sanctuary city, to surrounding suburban counties, including Orange County, Orange County, New York, where the Crossroads Hotel sits. So right there we have, 37 rooms in one group, and so we have 67 rooms total canceled in this motel, and one of them for a wedding. They were going for a wedding. So what do? They cancel wedding plans? You booked it months in advance. I don't know when the wedding is scheduled to be, but you booked the months in advance. So it must have been scheduled right now, pretty close to now, because that's when they're booking them, putting the aliens in there. So what do you do? Do you just change your plans, say we won't get married right now, or how do you handle this? I mean, you pay money up front.
They're just going to have to find other lodgings. I mean,
Yes. Yeah. If they can. But the idea that they do this, And I'm sure they're making big bucks at it. This should make anybody angry, because they're actually making illegals. Well, there's nothing new here. illegals have more rights than citizens. That's a pretty fair statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, and we're paying for it. I know New York's, well, New York's paying for it. Well, somebody in New York's paying for it also. Citizens pay for it. And federal
government they get a lot of money from the federal government.
There you go. It's exactly right. And here's another one that really ticks me off. America's homeless veterans are booted from upstate New York hotel to make room for busload of migrants as Mayor Eric Adams attempts to alleviate pressure in the Big Apple. Now, I don't even know how to word this. I'm a veteran. By the grace of God, I've always had a place to sleep and something to eat. I worked hard for it, not complaining, but I've had it. Some more unfortunate, maybe they couldn't, they fell through the cracks somehow. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe some of them just didn't want anything but to be homeless. I have no idea, but I'm sure there are some out there that want to have their own home, and they need a place to sleep. But dozens of homeless veterans have been kicked out of their upstate New York hotels to make room for an influx of migrants, fueled by the expiration of immigration restriction orders Title 42. The struggling veterans were only informed at the start of the week that they would be making way for migrants, a nonprofit veteran organization told the New York Post. Sharon Tony Finch, who runs it, Yurik Israel Tony Foundation, helps the homeless individuals and the hotels decided to kick out the vets due to what's going on with the immigrants. The migrants were bused north by New York City Mayor Eric Adams to alleviate the pressure on the Big Apple, as more than 10,000 people a day cross the border, southern border, in record numbers. But the move came at a cost for the homeless veterans living in hotels intended for migrants, leading Tony Finch, a disabled military veteran, to voice her anguish as seeing this situation unfold. One of the vets called me Sunday, she said. He told me that he had to leave because the hotel said the extended stay is not available. Then I got another call. Tony Finch said that she was left in tears after seeing the veterans swiftly kicked out of the hotels, despite being promised temporary housing for a month. That is just absolutely not right. These men and women, I don't care. Vietnam was a travesty, and I know that Korea was too, many others, but they went. They served. They served sometime. Maybe it's during the Iraq invasion. I have no idea. Afghanistan, I have no idea. Maybe they served inside the states. But they put the uniform on and they served the country. And now they've been kicked out for illegals who sneak across the border by the tens of thousands, and we have to pay for and feed them and allow them and clothe them and house them and take care of them, give them cell phones on top of that and pay their medical bills. And these men and women are kicked out of a motel. That's a disgrace beyond words, Melody. That's so disgusting, it makes you want to puke. Are you there with me?
I am. I mean, I just don't have anything to say this because it is. It's, and they're not being called on it. That's what's incredible.
That is. I mean, why don't we hear, if nothing else, why don't we have lawyers taking the case and suing these people?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody needs to say something. I wore the uniform of the U.S. Air Force. I came out as a sergeant. As E-4, they changed the name, but I came out as a what's called a buck sergeant. And I did nothing to disgrace the uniform at all. I came out with the honorable discharge. I realized later that I've been duped, and I was beside the point on that. But I wore it, just like my dad did in World War II. And I wasn't ashamed of the fact that I wore it. But these men and women, I'm sure a lot younger than I am now, later times of serving, but they come out, they have no place to live, and now they're being kicked out because somebody come across the border, broke federal and state laws, had no idea what the Constitution even says, much less try to defend it or the country. And these men and women are kicked out in the streets. There's just something very wrong with that picture. And I'll be quiet on that before I start getting angry about that. But it does make me angry. I don't apologize for that. I get angry. Any more comments?
No.
Gee, you've been quiet today.
I am. It's Monday.
DeSantis stomps out Chinese influence in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis signed three bills to limit the influence of Chinese government in Florida. The bills restrict Chinese citizens' land ownership in Florida, ban Chinese-owned social media platforms and government devices, and limit relationships between colleges and foreign countries of concern. Legislation will take effect on July 1st, with DeSantis stating the bills aim to prevent Chinese Communist Party influence in the state. Good for him. You know, he spoke in Iowa, day before yesterday. Trump had one scheduled because of the tornado warnings, whatever they canceled. But he hasn't declared yet he run for president. I expect that'll happen any time now. He spoke in Iowa, and I don't know much about the man. I'll have to do some more digging to get more information before anything comes up for election, of course. But I like some of his stands right now. I don't know what he's like behind the scenes, though. Do you?
No.
Be interested to know what his family's all about and different things that they've, you know, what he's done in the past. So I don't know. But, I mean, I like some of the things he's doing now. But it does seem like Trump, though, according to the polls, is still winning the lead. And I really don't know why, but it seems to be that way.
Well, I think they're just, you know, there just isn't anybody, I think, that's running that can compete with him yet. He doesn't have any competition. He doesn't have any competition yet.
Well,
so until,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and so until DeSantis makes that commitment or something, or somebody else, then Trump will. You know, people love Trump.
A lot of people do. They do. And, of course, our current resident of the White House put another stick in the fire to cause more division in the country. Although he says that the nation was much more divisive in the past, well, now he says we're not as divisive as used to be. Well, he said Biden calls white supremacy the greatest terrorism threat as 2024 race heats up. Now, folks, that is a direct hit in what's left of any compromise or working out between the races in this country. We're seeing this done on purpose. President Biden on Saturday declared white supremacy the most dangerous terrorist threat to American homeland during a speech to graduating students at a historically black university, elevate a debate that has already become central to his campaign for a second term. Recounting the story of how he initially decided to run for the White House after seeing white supremacists marching in Charlottesville in 2017, Biden said the country continues to be in a battle against sinister forces that are determined to turn the clock back to more divisive times. Well, Mr. Biden, I lived a lot of your years. I know back in the 50s, everybody seemed to live in pretty good peace with one another. I don't care whether you're black, white, Italian, Spanish. We all got along pretty copping good. We had Polish people in our community. We had Jewish people in the community. We had different people. No one had a problem with this. No one had a problem. Until Johnson got in office and other people started getting in office, it caused all kinds of division in the people. That's when it all started. You're further this right now. Now, right now, Mel, the way he's talking, it just because you're white sometimes makes you an enemy already. So white supremacy to me means what? It means nothing to me. I don't care what color the skin of a man or woman is. But when I'm labeled as supremacist because I'm white, and that's what Biden's trying to do, he's causing more division. Folks, this should make you angry also. Can you not see the country being undermined every day? Every day, Melody, they're taking away something else, aren't they?
I mean, they really are. And again, they need to divide us even more and more and more, and that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, I can't believe people can't see it. It's just that, it's, there was something else that, and the white supremacy, I mean, I remember when I first got into this business, Butch, I mean, there was a degree of, I don't know, how can I say this without getting myself in trouble or alienating anybody? There were white supremacists that did create situations. But none of us agreed with those situations that they created, because they were just a little more beyond, do you know what I'm trying to?
Yeah, I do.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. There's always been, both sides have had supremacists. Both sides have.
I mean, and they were very extreme. But now they're including patriots in that group.
Everyone.
Yeah. They're including everybody as these white supremacists. And it isn't the same as, you know, this white privilege stuff that's going on also. But I do hear the music. Whew, we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And the music came on at the perfect time because I think I was getting ready to insert a foot. So take it away, Butch. It's Monday.
Okay. I'll pull your foot out now, Melody. We'll move on.
All right.
Now, some economic news. And folks, this is important news. I mean, I started out with other stories because sometimes we have to tie everything together here. Economics are tied to society. When society crumbles, economics crumble. It's all part of the same puzzle, all part of the same platform, the same foundation. Vice Media, which was, by the way, was a very woke company. I hate to use the word woke for that, but a very, we'll say, immoral company. Files for bankruptcy to enable sale to lenders, including Soros and Fortress. Once a digital media darling, Vice Media Group on Monday filed for bankruptcy protection after years of financial troubles. A consortium of Vice lenders, which includes Fortress Investment, Soros Fund Management, and Monroe Capital, is looking to acquire the company following the filing. The digital media trailblazer, once valued at $5.7 billion and known for sites including Vice and Motherboard, has been restructuring and cutting jobs across the global news business over recent months. The group set to buy the company will provide $225 million in the form of a credit bid for most of Vice Media's assets, the company announced on Monday, along with the sufficient significant liabilities. Vice is one of the several digital media and technology firms forced to restructure this year amid a sluggish economy and weak advertising market. BuzzFeed last month shuttered its news division, announced substantial layoffs. I hadn't been following this too close, Melody, but apparently the media sources and the digital media are starting to take a hit big time. I mean, newspapers are almost non-existent to amount to anything now. Now the digital media is taking a hit. Any comments on that?
No.
I mean,
how's that for an answer?
I've been told no before, but you know, it's just, to me, it should be a very telling thing to see that people not only don't read newspapers, they're going off the digital media also. So,
but you know what's interesting though too is in the beginning when the online media started taking over, it was free. Now they're really charging, and you start getting, you know, a couple of subscriptions and so forth to this online media and so forth and whatnot. It adds up. So, you know, people just can't pay the extra money on any subscriptions anymore.
Well, people are cutting costs in this article, mm-hmm. including some of that, because $5 a month, no big deal. Well, if you don't have $5, it's a big deal.
Yeah, but it's $5 here, $5 there, $10 here, $20 there.
It adds up, and that does add up. And I've seen a day that I didn't have $5 in my wallet either. So I'm not saying I'm not belittling somebody who says $5 on main to them. I understand that. I truly do.
Mm-hmm.
Repelled by high car prices, Americans are holding on to their vehicles longer than ever. And I knew this was coming. With new and used cars still painfully expensive, Ryan Holdsworth said he plans to keep his 9-year-old Chevy Cruze for at least 4 more years. Limiting his car payments and his overall debt is a bigger priority for him than having a new vehicle. A 35-year-old grocery store worker from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Holdsworth would probably be in the market for a vehicle within a few years, if not for the high cost. For now, it's out of the question. You're not going to get one that for a price you can afford, he said. Holdsworth has plenty of company. Americans are keeping their cars longer than ever. The average age of a passenger vehicle on the road hit a record 12.5 years this year, according to data gathered by S&P Global Mobility. Sedans like Holdsworth's are even older, on average 13.6 years. Well, I don't mind saying I have a 2015 Edge. Eight years old, and I have a 2010 Chevrolet Silverado. So that thing is 13 years old. See, I understand. I can see this. Melody, I'm not considering trading. Even a cheap used car is $30,000, $40,000 now for a cheap one, a decent one. Now, I'm not talking about the little kind you got to get out and push. I'm talking about something with the, like SUV or something. But go ahead.
Yeah, and it's not even just the price tag on the vehicle. Now you have finance rates that are much higher.
That's coming.
You don't see too many dealers anymore saying, 0% financing, you know. So, and they're not giving any discounts like they were either.
No, they're not. From my understanding, they're cutting back some on some prices because they have to, but they're not giving much in discounts. They're not. Mm-hmm. Blame it mainly on the pandemic, which is 2020 triggered a global shortage of automotive consumer computer chips. The vital component that runs everything from radios to gas pedals to transmissions. Another side comment, starting on the new cars, are going to take the AM radios, AM out of the radios, by the way.
I know.
More AM. So goodbye to old AM. I remember that was all there was. But anyway, the shortage drastically slowed global assembly lines, making new vehicles scarce or dealer lots, with consumers were increasingly eager to buy. Prices reached record highs, and though they've eased somewhat, the cost of vehicles still feels punishably expensive to many Americans, especially when coupled with how much higher loan rates. Since the pandemic struck 3 years ago, the average new vehicle has rocketed 24% to nearly 48,000 as of April, according to Edmunds.com. Typical loan rates on new car purchases have ballooned to 7%, a consequence of the Federal Reserve's aggressive streak of interest rate hikes to fight inflation. It's all pushed the national average monthly auto payment to $729 a month, prohibitively high for many. Experts say family earnings and medium U.S. household income can no longer afford the average new car payment and still cover such necessities as housing and food and utilities. Another hit, folks, on the middle-income people. Another hit to the mainstay, the backbone of America. Used vehicle prices, on average, have surged even more since the pandemic hit, up 40% to near $29,000, with an average loan rate reaching 11%. A typical monthly used vehicle payment is now $563. So for $150 more, you can get a new car. This is a hard hit, huge hit. An average vehicle, used vehicle, $29,000. Mailed out by the Subaru back in 1970, about 76, 77. A new Subaru, there wasn't anything fancy, a little station wagon, didn't even have an AC, I don't think. It was $5,000.
Yeah.
It ran for a long time. Now, just think about that today. You try to find a Subaru day on the lot for $5,000 that still runs. But this is why people are struggling. And I know that it's getting tough to keep to make ends meet. I certainly wouldn't want to think about a $700-some-dollar a month car payment. Wouldn't want to think about it. Let's try to do it. Any comments on that?
No, it's just, some people will finance, they refinance, and it's just, people like debt. As long as they can get it, they're going to use it.
Pretty soon they refinance to the point that they can't refinance anymore.
Yep.
The car is pretty well shot. Then what do?
Yep.
You know? These things people got something to think about also. And more on the economics as far as businesses trying to hang in places where they can no longer exist. This is a sad story. It's just not safe. Decades-old Baltimore business closes shop because of crime, blames Democrats. In cities stretching from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, New York, Chicago, and numerous cities along the West Coast, progressive leadership has failed to enforce law and order. These crime-ridden metropolises are experiencing an exodus of businesses of all sizes due to a tidal wave of thefts. The latest incident comes as a mom-and-pop business operating in Baltimore City for more than four decades has been forced to shutter operation because of numerous armed robberies. Jody Rossoff, the owner of Doc's Spoke Shop in Baltimore's Highland Town neighborhood, told local media at Fox 45 that she had been robbed at gunpoint for the second time in 6 months and just recently had to shoot an intruder. "This is our second armed robbery in 6 months." She said her business had been operating in the city for decades and now has to close up shop because it's not safe for anybody on the street that's a small business owner. We have been here in the city for 44 years. For 44 years, we paid property taxes, retail sales taxes, and we have employed people. It's just not safe. It's not safe for my employees or for me. It's not safe for anybody on the street that's a small business owner. We can't afford armed security. The business just isn't there. It turns out the robber was a convicted felon with his lengthy record spanning more than two decades. She pointed to the city's progressive leadership for soft on crime policies that keep dangerous people on the street. Shame on the mayor, shame on the judge, and shame on prosecutors and our former state's attorney for letting this problem in Baltimore happen to Baltimore City, Ross have said. Meanwhile, in the city's downtown district, shootings, carjackings, muggings, and out-of-control packs of teenagers are wreaking havoc. Wow. So sad. Mel?
Yes?
I think I want to add something to that. Because it's just a sad story. 44 years in business, and have to shut down because of crime. Isn't that sad?
It's funny now. You hear a lot of stories now that are trying to say, well, it just isn't the crime. It's a lot of these other issues. And it's like, it's all the same. I mean, you have that crime, and you get the other problems too. But they're trying to change to make these Democrats. So they're more electable, I guess, in the future. But it is,
Well, they can say what they want.
They can.
But it doesn't change it.
Doesn't change anything. Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't do it. I mean, they can pick on what they want, and I want to get two more quick articles here. West can make Russia's defeat irreversible, Zelensky says. President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Sunday that Kyiv and its Western supporters can make Russia's defeat in the war in Ukraine irreversible this year as he thanked Germany for its military support. The Ukrainian leader told a joint news conference with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Berlin that Kyiv would always be grateful to Germany for support during Russia's full-scale invasion. Now is the time for us to determine the end of the war already this year. We can make this aggressor's defeat irreversible already this year. Ukraine is expected to launch major counteroffensive operations in the coming weeks to try to recapture tracts of its east and south from Russian forces who launched a full-scale invasion in February last year. Now, I think we need to pay attention because chilling photo shows 18 Russian nukes bombers near NATO border as Putin threatens UK over Ukraine missiles. Folks, this is getting down. And I don't know this. They showed a huge explosion. I think it was in Russia. Maybe it was in Ukraine. I just saw a glimpse of it. It looked like a small nuke to me. And maybe it wasn't. I'm not saying it was. I'm not an expert. But it looked like a small nuclear explosion to me that went off and showed on TV. I think it may have been. Russia's chilling station 18 nuclear-capable strategic bombers close to the NATO border. It comes amid threats from Vladimir Putin over the UK's plans to send devastating missiles to Ukraine. I'm not going to have time to read all this, but an anti-criminal Russian news site, Mezuza, reported a radio observer monitoring Russian strategic aviation said the aircraft took off from Olena Air Base nearly every day last week, including to participate in combat missions in Ukraine. It's designed to strike enemy targets in remote areas with nuclear and conventional weapons. Now, they also spotted off and also the nuclear biggest nuclear submarine in the world. Russia has is carrying the apocalyptic bomb. I think it's called apocalypse bomb. So this is heating up, folks, to a point that I think we better pay more attention. Russia is fighting the whole UK. No, maybe not on the battlefront, man to man yet. But they're supplying weapons to Ukraine. The U.S. also doing the same thing. Russia is fighting for its very existence. I know you don't want to hear this. Some of y'all are probably mad when I say that, but I can't help it. It's true. We're the aggressors here. We had no business getting involved in this war, like we didn't have any business getting involved in a lot of wars. But here we are on the verge of World War III. I don't think we're going to think about that. Melody?
No, and, you know, he was all over UK, too, trying to drum up more money and everything else, and it's just, I can't even imagine. And there's no accountability to all of that money or to all of the weaponry that we've sent and given that he's received from everyone. No accountability for it. None. And we know that they were the most corrupt, you know. So I don't know, Butch. It's just like you just keep giving them money, more money, more money. And, you know, plus, yeah, it's a scary time.
Well, we can fund the Ukrainian war. We can feed all the illegals. Just bring them on over and bring them in. We'll support them all.
Yep. Did you get all your articles done?
I did. All but one. We'll get it next time.
Okay. Well, we'll be back on Wednesday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.